Could you please explain what Cyborg Unplug actually is? How does it work?
The device itself, the plug itself, does something that that all existing Wi-Fi access points or hotspots do anyway, which is listen for little hardware signatures that are pushed out into the air from wireless devices as they look for, the technical word is probe, and connect to wireless networks. It's just that the plug itself does one extra thing, is that it checks whether those signatures match a list of prohibited devices that the owner of that plug has selected to be blacklisted, if you like, or prohibited, banned. And then if it encounters one, maybe it's a wearable spy camera or a wireless microphone or glasses or something like this that may be used for surveillance, unsolicited recording, it will alert the owner by sending a special message, anonymously sending it to their smartphone and the receiver a notification, and then optionally disconnect that device from that wireless network. That's the stock standard mode. So you get the plug, you plug it in, and you choose which networks you want to protect and which devices you want to listen for and receive alerts about, and also disconnect. But there's this other mode, which is a little bit more controversial, and I'm leaving it up to the user or the owner of the plug as to whether or not they do activate it. It's called the all-out mode. The first one I just described is called territory mode, and this other mode is called all-out mode. And that one listens for prohibited devices connecting to any network. That could even be connecting to their own, to a phone in the spy's pocket. And that's a very, very aggressive stance. And there may be, in fact, situations where you'd want that. And again, it's important to state here that this device is far from being just about Google Glass. It's about a whole new line of devices that are following the trend themselves of computers getting smaller and smaller and smaller, that are resulting in things like surveillance cameras, spy cameras that look like smoke detectors, that look like clocks, that are hidden inside wristwatches. And the market for these things is huge. I mean, the market for smoke detectors disguised as surveillance cameras is massive in Europe. And unfortunately, one of the main drivers of that market, I've heard firsthand, is pornography, actually.
So why do you use the term cyborg in Cyborg Unplug?
Well, this was derived directly as a result of an inspiration. I mean, initially I wrote this little script, which just leverages or uses existing tools that are quite familiar to people that study wireless networks or exploit them. And I wrap these up in a little script. That was targeting just Google Glass. And one of the responses I got from that directly was a group called Stop the Cyborgs that had been very active in the Bay Area and in the US in general in the distribution of stickers that simply ban Google Glass. And this campaign called Stop the Cyborgs was itself a direct response to a felt threat that many people in the Bay Area and right throughout California feel of. They're sitting in a restaurant and there's people sitting there with wearing glasses. They may or may not be recording your conversation. You'd be in a park and there's a guy or a woman sitting there and you're playing with your kids or something like that, and there happens to be a person there just sitting there wearing the Google Glass. There's no external indicator that it's actually a recording. And so out of wanting to have a kind of a collaboration with them, at least as a part of that movement, we all agreed together that it wouldn't just be called The Unplug, but it'd be called The Cyborg Unplug, both borrowing from, again, their campaign. But secondly, that the augmentation of oneself with technology, with wearable technology, does result in this outcome we would refer to often as a cyborg. That can be obviously used for great positive effect, and it's also for some cases harm. We don't mean to talk negatively about cyborgian potentialization and augmentation more generally. I'm really interested and excited by that stuff, But I can also see that it can go quite the other way. I mean, in fact, a drone pilot is a kind of a cyborg.
And some people might feel offended by Cyborg Unplug, maybe even discriminated. Isn't that misleading? Because what you are actually addressing are problems like backdoors and gadgets and government surveillance, right?
Indeed. Few people would be offended if it was possible to make a device that would stop someone filming you with a digital video camera while you are eating at a restaurant. Imagine you're sitting at a restaurant having a conversation with someone that's important to you, and maybe it's an important conversation too, and then someone comes in and sits down next to you with a tripod and a gigantic video camera and starts just recording the room, or even maybe you. Maybe you're in the, again, back in the park with your family and they're recording that. No one would have a problem with a device that could somehow stop that camera, maybe streaming that video off to the internet, you know. But with Cyborg Unplug, some people feel a little bit more offended, especially people from drone users and Google Glass fans, for instance, because they feel that Google Glass or wearable technologies like that are part of their personal right. As one man wrote to me, he said, it's my right to record my experience. But from his perspective, that may sound all very well, but when it includes other people's experiences and when it may stream content off that device, off to a computer elsewhere on the net, whether it's even just a simple Skype stream or whether it's backing up to a remote device, or as commonly with many surveillance devices that, again, are very popular, is to a neighbouring room, you know, whether it's a person simply watching, you know, whether it's a government official or whatever. And so I think it's that the personalisation of technology that people feel a bit challenged with. Again, you can kill someone with a screwdriver, or you can also use it to fix your stereo amplifier. And it's important to not mistake the tool for the purpose. This is a device that has been built to respond to a very felt, tangible threat. People feel nervous. They feel that they have less and less control over what is in their environment and whether or not their rights are being compromised. And so it's up to the owner of that plug as to how they use it. They can plug it in the wall and protect their network, which is absolutely within their legal right to do so, to block certain devices from your network. And if you're a cafe owner, a restaurateur, a hospital owner, a school, you know, you have a high school or something like that, it's your right to stop whatever devices you like using that network. But if someone wants to use the all-out mode and it happens to disconnect someone's drone as they're flying it, you know, outside in the, just out the window, then that's unfortunate. But we can't take any responsibility for the use or abuse of this plug.
On the one hand, Cyborg Unplug addresses technology, the Google Glass, for example, or wireless cameras. And on the other hand, it addresses individuals, people who use those gadgets. Do you see our current always-on problem, including all the surveillance capabilities, really on an individual level, or isn't it more a social or political question?
It certainly is. It's both things. Unfortunately, if there was to be, for instance, a civil lawsuit as a result of someone wanting to take a company to court that was making it very, very easy for people to surveil other people. In other words, to unconsensually document the activities of another person without asking them. And there was a person was to take that company or corporation to court and say, we need to take this device off the market, because it's abused my rights. It's been used to abuse my rights. Then it's highly unlikely that person would win that case. I mean, it's a person against an individual. It takes time. I mean, laws and policies are actually changed as a result of that interpretation of a contest of rights in a court of law. You know, and laws and policies are actually informed out of that process. You know, court cases are in fact kinds of conversations that acid test or prove the validity of a given law, right? And that's too slow. That whole process is just too slow. So it's important, I think, to have a counter response, an active detect and disconnect response here in this case, for people to be able to act as they see fit, Because at the moment, all of the power balance is the other way. Why are their parents writing to me, saying that they're worried about something that just happened to them, where they're looking out the window and their daughters are playing in a swimming pool in their backyard, and they look out and there's a drone hanging above them while they're swimming with a camera pointed down, you know, and just filming their kids, you know, or why are school network administrators writing to me saying we're really, really worried about that? Hospitals as well, privacy is a big issue there, and you know, this is, people want to take control of this problem themselves. Hopefully the conversation does in fact get into the upper levels of social and political conversation through this, but I think we won't see much change there anywhere near as fast as we need it.
You think it's really necessary to develop technological solutions because it's too slow until the laws come?
I think that we've even seen this since there were first very, very public leaks, whether it's from Cryptome, WikiLeaks, or Snowden and the like, about just how our rights have been abused, and even when there is a documented, well documented body of evidence, you know, pointing to these flagrant, sweeping, broad abuses of our basic rights, freedom of association, freedom of speech, and the basic human right to privacy. Still, we're reliant on these policymakers and governments, officials, so-called civil servants, to then do their job to protect us. But as we've seen, they negotiate and bargain like as though one's playing cards with those rights, you know, trying to come up with a compromise, you know. And this process is lengthy, opaque. It's not transparent. And there is a frustration, a felt frustration, it seems, based on the huge number of emails that I've received, for instance, about this project and when I'm giving lectures and the like, that people want to take control of the situation a bit more. They want to encrypt. They want anonymity solutions. They want to defend themselves in the digital domain actively.
On the Cyborg Unplugged website, it says it's your territory and your rules, so make it harder for those that seek to abuse it. Do you see the use of smartphones, smart classes, etc., only in this negative spectrum?
No, not at all. I mean, I study smartphones a lot. I don't use one, but I own them. I have them for study. And I think there's it's a universe in the pocket. It's a wonderful new landscape of possibility there. But as many have said, it's a they are also tracking devices. I think it was Applebaum that first said that, tracking devices you can also make calls on. And when you do start studying for instance, the GSM cellular domain, it is rather disturbing indeed. The fact that these phones actually have two operating systems on them, at least, rather than just one. There's the radio part as well, and there's all sorts of frightening things that can be done there. And so there are these negative secondary effects. There are the long shadow, you know, of these new gadgets. I've worked in augmented reality. I worked in a virtual reality center back in 1997, and head-mounted displays, you know, were all I wanted to work with back then. You know, I wanted to create alternative realities, worlds, you know, walk-in virtual worlds and the like. I mean, I was as into William Gibson as anyone else, you know, science fiction in general. And so naturally when I see, you know, the Oculus Rift, which I think is, you know, pretty great, really, Google Glass, I am excited. But Google made, again, it made very, very concerted, selected, obviously carefully debated internally, design decisions about their product. They chose not to initially put a external indicator of recording on that device. They chose to not encourage their users to have software on their laptops, for instance, that they could download the video to and blur out the faces in those videos exactly as they do in Google Street View, for instance. They know that there is a market for voyeurs, or the voyeur in all of us, and they left it that way. And that is, and there has been a pushback against that. And so Google really asked for it in that case. I mean, that's a complex device, but Google could have done a lot more to make it, the public at least, feel a bit more reassured about its applications and about their intentions in general, actually.
So one conclusion could be we have lost control over technology and the only way to get it back is to turn it off. Is that the way you see it?
No, not actually. What I think we need to see is a commitment to a shift away from closed source, black box, opaque technology, allowing the end user, to have the right to read and learn and study and modify and examine technology without having a lawyer or 10 in between them and doing that, breaking a warranty, for instance, which effectively depreciates the value of the device. And the more that we're encouraged to modify and study and inspect, the more technology becomes a part of a cultural, a publicly owned conversation. Technology, especially code, in fact, is far too important and far too dangerous to be left to the experts and industry alone. You know, this is a conversation that we all need to become more comfortable about having. And even if we're not engineers or trained programmers, it doesn't matter. Another way of putting it is this, is that so much of our environment is engineered now. The influence is just so deep. Our cities themselves are held up in a cradle, a nest of engineering. It influences the way we move, the way we communicate, the way we eat, the way we think. You take away refrigeration and a lot of us would die real fast, you know. We're heavily dependent on all of this engineering infrastructure. So unless we can at least conceptually, abstractly describe the engineered constituent parts of the world that we live in, we can't critically engage the world that we live in. And that's the ignorance that's being used against us now on a corporate level and on a governmental level. This ignorance has a significantly high market and political value. It's a techno-political challenge of our times, and as we've seen recently with certain governments, well, US and the UK particularly, that ignorance has been abused. If you ask almost anyone you know how the postcard you sent them arrived in their mailbox, they would say, "Oh, yeah, I've never worked as a postman or postwoman, but you know, we have Postleitzahlen and we have these neighborhoods, you know, and this probably was organized like this. We have this idea of numbers and street names." But you ask them how the email that you sent them arrived in the inbox, and they would be reliant on high surrealism or poetry much of the time. They'll be really struggling, not because they're stupid, not because they're idiots, but because they no one's sat down and told them how this thing works. And that's how abuses on a massive scale at governmental and a corporate level are actually implemented. What does data retention mean? Emails being stored on servers? It's all too abstract, you know, but unless there is a general conversation to educate ourselves mutually, laterally, then unfortunately we will be exploited and remain disempowered. That's my opinion on it. Mm.
You are a media artist and you have created a mobile network, Jammer, and a tool that manipulates news and websites within a wireless network. Now there is a Cyborg Unplugged device. Is this more a political art installation and performance, or is it more like a product from your point of view?
I have been asked this question quite a bit, but some people are confused why my colleague Samim Vinegar would be taking something literally to the market. I would like its identity, at least as I know it and understand it, to remain ambiguous for a while, because this is the first time I've ever done it. I've never actually sold anything on a market before. I've lived off teaching and you know, workshops, particularly intensives, and you know, exhibition fees and commissioned work and things like that. Since 1996, I've never done this before, but that's also part of why I'm interested in it. You know, you take a risk and you find out what you believe in. Pushing this out there into the market, I feel, at least I felt with this, with the huge response to this initial little script that I wrote, that there was many people wrote, how can I use this? You know, if there was some way of me, can I have this as an app on my phone? Which is actually, unfortunately, pretty much impossible. You can't do it with a phone based on the way that the operating systems are built. You'd need to have a rooted phone and an extra little device, and it wouldn't work. It can't be an app. So what am I to do? I mean, I can either answer that call or I cannot. Talking to Simim, we decided, what the hell, why not go for it? I mean, I work with embedded technology so much anyway, and the code's all sitting there. It just needs to be polished up and maybe make a nice little Android application or something like that, and a few other features, a nice website, and let's just see. And sure enough, we went live yesterday, and a lot of people are buying the things, and all the source code will be open the day that they ship, so the day that they are distributed. Anyone can study the source code, modify the source code, learn about all the stuff themselves, and so it's a win-win situation, at least from my perspective. I maintain my personal integrity, at least, you know, with myself, that I'm looking after the things that are important, but I also get to have a nice experiment in putting something in many people's homes, you know, and